Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we do believe, Lord, with all our heart that all things are possible because you're here. And believing, Father, that in this hour you have come down with a shout, which is a message to gather together your elect from the four corners of the earth. And we see, Father, the effects and the manifestation of that. And we know, Father, you came for protection. You came to seal in the wise virgin. You came for many, many purposes, Lord. And we, most of all, you came to bring us a change of the body by bringing us a change first of the mind. And so, Lord, we pray that we would have our hearts and our minds, Lord, in tune with thee, Father, that as you would speak, we would hear, for we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. This evening, I'd like to pick up at paragraph 73 of the spoken word as the original seed, and we'll read through paragraph 77. But there's something in paragraph 77 that if we read it all by itself, without first reading what he says in paragraphs 73 through 77, we might get the wrong idea of what he's saying. So I'd like to pick up and read first through, and then we're going to talk about what was in 77, and then we're going to kind of go backtrack a little bit. But anyway, so in 73, Brother Bram says, I believe the Bible is the Word of God, the whole Word, the whole truth. And Jesus is the Word made manifest. He and his Word is one and the same. What was he? Now look, he was that seed. Now I've got to hold something back in order to get it in here in this evening. You see, it's hard. But he was that seed that Eve should have produced. Do you get it now? He was that seed that Eve was to produce, but she hybrided it by disbelieving God's word. So he was that seed. And the only way that that life could be in the reproduction of life, that life had to come through that seed. And that seed had to die in order to spread out the life. Can't you see it? That's why the water was given to water the seed. The Holy Spirit was in the Garden of Eden. It was to water the seed. Man wasn't made to die. He's made to live. But hybriding brought death there. And she's hybrid. She hybrid. Now, you deny the serpent seed? Then I'll ask you, what's these funeral services all about? She's hybrid. Every one of us are a hybrid from the original. That's the reason we're constantly dying. But, oh God, there's a germ of life come from the real seed that God's proved that it was his seed. He rose him up again, see? That through that life that's going over the original seed like was given to Eve over his real church, it's bringing forth life again through the birth, through the womb of his bride, see? Oh, it's rich and glorious. I give a little time to study so it'll sink in. He is that seed. He is that seed that was produced by the word of God. Be it unto me according to thy word. See? There's the seed. See? Taking the word. See? Now, Jesus is the word made manifest. He and the word is one and the same. And that's why it was so made manifest in him so perfectly. That's the reason that God manifested himself so perfectly in Jesus. Because he was the seed word, the germ, the word itself, the germ that's inside the seed. That's the life in the seed. You see it? You see, he was that germ word of God. The germ is the spirit. The germ is the water. And Jesus had to be broken open there in order for that seed to let forth its life to water other seed that was coming. Do you see? Even he said, other sheep I have that's not even of this fold I have. And they're going to see that. They're going to get that word and stay right with it. And I'm sending forth the spirit of water to water it. And it'll produce just exactly. It'll produce miracles. It'll produce the power of God. It'll produce, and it will not deny anything because it is a kindred seed with the word, with the seed. It can't say, Mr. Cockerbury, you come live with me. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. He won't work. No, indeed. He just won't mix. Can't mix death and life. You can't be dead and alive at the same time. So you see what I mean? It is the germ that come from the seed. He is. He's the word of God made perfectly manifest. That's the reason that in him was what? That was the thing that he is correctly. The son from the first Adam was the son that was promised through Adam to continue on the human race and even hybrid it to the serpent and brought forth a generation of bastard children born to death without life. And Jesus come and was that seed. He proved it. Everything that Adam lost, Jesus was. See? You see it? He is the correct. Eve would have finally brought forth that child forth. But she hybrided it, brought the serpent in, listening for wisdom and understanding knowledge. Now wait till we get into the bride with that. That's the reason I believe what I believe. It's got to come back to this word. That's the reason I say if somebody wants to discuss with me, talk to me about this word, come on. That's right. I've offered that any time. If you think that the name of Jesus Christ isn't the right way to be baptized, come talk to me about it. If you don't believe that there is such a thing as serpent seed, you come and see me. Let's just talk the word. And if you don't believe that women should have long hair and that's their covering, come talk to me about it with the word. If you don't believe that the end of the time is at hand and these things that I'm talking about is coming, talk to me about it, see? Come on, come with me, brother. Just come. That's right. Now, there's far too much here for us to just take these few paragraphs lightly. So let's just start where he says, if you don't believe that the end of time is at hand and these things that I'm talking about is come, talk to me about it. See, come with me, brother seed. Just come on. That's right. So what are the things that he's talking about that correspond to the end time? Well, first of all, we know that the seven seals have all been opened. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they've all been fulfilled. But open means that we know what they are, because they've been revealed to us. However, we also know that we also know that although Brother Brown told us that the seventh seal is opened or has been revealed, we don't know what it is. I mean, we know what it is, but we don't know when it'll take place. Remember, there is a space of time, a moment of silence, that no man knows the day or the hour of the second coming. Brother Brown said there was nothing to reveal because there was nothing there. He said that's the time of his coming. But what about the sixth seal? We know that the sixth seal has been opened. And we know that the sixth seal speaks of judgments. And we're beginning to see the process of those seals, the process of those judgments come into manifestation. But can anyone tell me what the main attribute of the sixth seal is? Well, it is judgment. From the sixth seal, Brother Bram said, for we know that this sixth seal is the judgment seal. It's the judgment seal, exactly what it is. Now see, we've had the Antichrist ride. We've seen the church go. Now it's finished up. It goes up. Then we see the martyrs of them Jews back there under the altar. Now here is the breaking forth of the judgment upon the people, where out of this tribulation judgment will come forth the 144,000 redeemed Jews. I'll prove to you that they're Jews and not Gentiles. They have nothing to do with the bride, not a thing. The bride, we don't see the bride is gone at this time. You can't place that anywhere else. So sometime during this sixth seal, which is already opened, God turns from the Gentiles. He takes a Gentile bride up. He turns from the Gentiles at that point, and he turns back to the Jews. Now we know that the bride will not go through the tribulation, because the word tribulation comes from the root word retributive. And we know that this judgment on those who have not obeyed, they have not hearkened to the voice of the Lord their God, is Deuteronomy 28. It's a chapter where blessings and cursings are both shown. But we see there's more cursings than there are blessings. Now from the first seal, Brother Bram said, but the not them revealed in their true state. Now in the Bible time, the mysteries were there. And they've seen these things happen the way that John saw it here. Now he said there is a white horse rider, but what the mystery of it is there's a mystery that goes with that rider. Now what was it? They didn't know. But it's to be revealed. But it is to be revealed after the Lamb leaves the Father's throne of his intercessory as kinsman redeemer. I'm going to drop a little something in here. Now if anybody gets these tapes, any man can speak whatever he wants to, he has a right to anything of his conviction. But if you know, if a minister doesn't want this amongst his people, then tell them not to take it. But this is amongst the people that I have been sent to speak to. Therefore, I must reveal what is the truth. See, now the Lamb, in the time of the intercessory back here, we knew that there were names in there that was put in there from before the foundations of the world. And as long as them names have never been manifested on earth as yet, he had to stay there as intercessor. Do you get it? Perfectly predestination. See? All right. He had to stay there because he came to die for those that God had ordained to eternal life. See? You see? By his foreknowledge, he saw them. Not by his own will. His will was that none should perish. But by his foreknowledge, he knew who would and who would not. Therefore, as long as there was one name that hadn't never yet been declared in earth, Christ had to stay there as an intercessor to take care of that name. But as soon as that final name had been splashed into that Clorox or bleach, then his intercessory days was over. Let him that's filthy be filthy still. Let him that's holy be holy still. See? And he leaves the sanctuary, and then it becomes a judgment seat. Woe unto those outside of Christ at that time. Now notice, but it's to be revealed when the Lamb leaves his intercessory place from the Father. Now that's Revelation 5. Now he takes the book of seals, or a book sealed with seals. He breaks them and shows them, look, at the end of the age now, after the intercessory is over, the church age has done finished up. He comes in the first age, the Ephesian age, revealed, sent the messenger. Notice what happened as we go along. Here's the plan of it. The first thing happens, there's an announcement in the heavens first. What happened? A seal is opened. What is that? A mystery is unfolded, see? And when a mystery is unfolded, then a trumpet sounds that declares a war or a plague falls, and the church age opens. See? What is the war part? The angel of the church, that's the messenger of the age he's talking about here. He catches the mystery of God, not fully yet revealed. But when he does catch it, he catches this mystery of God, and then he goes forth to the people after the mystery has been given to him. He goes forth to the people, and what does he do out there? He begins to proclaim that message, and what does it start? A war, a spiritual war. And then God takes his messenger with the elect of that age. He lays them away asleep, and then he drops a plague upon them who rejected it, a temporary judgment. And then after that is over, then he goes on, and they denominate. And they bring in denominations to start off with that man's work, like Wesley and all the rest of them. And then it gets all in a scrapple again. And then another mystery comes forth. Then what happens? Another messenger arrives on earth for a church age. See? When he arrives, the trumpet sounds. He declares a war. See? And then what happens? Finally, he's caught away. And then when he's laid away, then plagues fall and destroys them. Spiritual death hits the church, and she's gone, that group. Now let me add this part, because I want to address tomorrow morning that we are now seeing the spiritual death among the very churches that proclaim to believe this message. Then it's all over. And God will, he must come very soon to take up those who have been faithful in this age, so that he can drop the plagues upon this generation. And if we see the judgments are already in the earth, then how close are we, friends? Now remember, in the book of Deuteronomy, it says, these blessings, being the head, not the tail, being the lender, not the borrower, having your basket full, not empty, these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, having good health. But then when he turns, it says, but if you don't hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, These blessings will become curses unto you. It says you become the borrower and not the lender. You become the tail, not the head. A foreigner shall rise up among thee and rule over thee. After this happens, then the plagues. You see? So there's always economics first, then the plagues follow. And if the economics are already beginning, where are we at? Where are we at? The churches in this message are dying. Spiritually, the people are dead. They're so caught up into the everyday life, everyday living, they're failing to recognize what day we're really living in. All you have to do, people, open your eyes. Open your eyes. Look at what's falling apart. The nation's falling apart. You think you're going to be here and have hope in a nation that's crippled financially? $54 trillion in debt. I hope you understand how big a trillion is. If I could count a trillion, one at a time, $1 at a time, every second, without stopping, one every second, 24/7, 365 days a year, how many years would it take to get through it? 37,000 years. Over 37,000. You realize that since Jesus died on the cross, if you counted $1 every second, 24/7, 365 days a year, for 2,000 years, or 1,976 years since 33 AD, you'd only have $60 billion and some change. You'd have 6% of a trillion. And this nation is in debt $54 trillion. It never, in no way, shape, or form, can ever come around again. Now, how many in here besides Peter and I have been to third world countries? Okay. He used to live in it. Michael could tell you what it's like to stand in line to get bread. To stand in line to get maybe a piece of meat. And you wait in line and you're waiting, waiting, waiting. And when you get up there, there isn't any left. That's what this nation is headed for and the rest of the world. The rest of the world is broke. This nation's broke, Brother Ram said, and the rest of the world is broke. And who owns the gold of the world? Rome. And when gold goes to 5,000 or 8,000, or even as Mark Faber said, it could go as high as $100,000 an ounce. And she owns the majority of it. She has enough money at that point, because your stocks are going down, your paper's going down, it's becoming worthless. She has enough money at that time to buy it all. Then you think your job is safe? Forget it. You think your city is safe? You're safe in the city? Forget it. You think you're safe in the country? Forget it. They've already got the laws in the books, and Brother Brown told us, 1964, he says, you might as well get used to the cold, because they're already building encampments. He said they'll be the size of province. They've got one now that'll hold 2 million people south of Fairbanks, Alaska. And Brother Brown said, you might as well get used to the cold, because he said that's where they're going to send all the people like us. They call us dissidents. We're different from the rest. Oh, yeah. Maybe that's how God's going to gather together the elect to one place. Who knows? But when I see these things happening, I realize one thing. We're at the beginning of the judgments. We are at the beginning of the judgments. Brother Brown threw a rock up in the air and he said the judgments are now in the earth. But we've seen very, very little to this point. They're predicting over 30% unemployment. They're saying we're already at 15, more than 15% unemployment. The reason why the government statistics only show 8 to 10 is because there's a lot of people that have already gone off the unemployment rolls because their unemployment ran out. You don't see it so much here in the Midwest, but you go to the coastal cities and the unemployment is stupendous. 60,000 people lost their homes in California. They've got tent cities. How many have seen that on the internet? The tent cities. The people are squatting. Just like the Depression times. Little tents set up all over the place. Getting rationed out food. It's already happening. You're too protected. You don't see it. But it's happening. Then he goes to another. And oh, it's a great plan until it comes to that last angel. Notice every time God sent a messenger, when the messenger caught the revelation from God, he began to speak it, that caused a spiritual war. The people that took the side, basically the people that received it, God then took them off the scene. Waited for them to go off the scene. Then the others denominated around that. And God sent judgment. Every single age. We did a study back in 99. It's on the internet. We have a chart up there. We show that every time a messenger came, we show what plague followed. Showed the devastation of the plague. Several times, Europe, 50% of the people in the cities died. One third of the people in all of Europe died. Excuse me. Under Martin Luther, one fourth of the population of the entire world died of tuberculosis. Under John Wesley, we saw World War I, the devastation, the millions, millions, tens of millions of people that died in that. Then the plague, the Spanish influenza, which took place. 40 million people died. 1 billion people were affected by it. What's this last one going to be? Revelation chapter 15. It tells us that each of the seven angels had one vial. But the seventh angel had seven vials. It will be seven times worse in this age than any other age. And Brother Brown said, this depression that's going to come will make the first one look like a Sunday school picnic. Why? Because people didn't have mortgages back then. They paid their houses off in 7 years. The average person paid their house off in 7 years. They didn't have mortgages. They didn't believe in borrowing to buy things. They paid cash or they didn't buy it at all. Today, people are strapped. $40,000, $50,000 average credit card bills in this nation. For what? So you can have a storage place to put your Chinese junk. Oh yeah, that's what Gerald Celente said. He said, we're a laughingstock of the other nations. Because we buy up our Chinese junk and then we got so much we got to have a storage unit to put it in. Brother Ram said, then he goes on to another. And oh, it's a great plan until he comes to that last angel. Now he has no certain mystery, but he gathers up all that's been lost in them other ages. All the truths that was truly revealed, see, as the revelation come, then he reveals those things in his day. And if you want to read it, it's Revelation 10, 1 to 4. You get it, all right. See, he takes the book of the seals and breaks them and shows the seventh angel. For this alone, the mysteries of God is the mystery of the seventh angel. Now, we just come through the church ages with even history to prove it. See, it is the angel's message of the seventh church, all right. Reveals all the mysteries that's been in the past, all the things in the past, Revelation 10, 1 to 7, that's to be. Now remember, in the days of the seventh angel, his sounding forth, blasting forth the gospel trumpet, he is to finish all the mysteries of God. Just like here come forth in the early church ages, we'll get it after a while, a doctrine, then it become a saying first, then a doctrine, then it become a statue, then it becomes a church, and through the dark ages. And out of the dark ages comes the Reformation, Luther, and he brought with him all kinds of mysterious things that happened during the church ages, all back in there then, but he never finished it up. Then come along Wesley with sanctification, got some more of it, but still never finished it, left loose ends everywhere, such as sprinkling instead of baptism, and Luther took Father, Son, and Holy Ghost instead of the Lord Jesus Christ, all these different things. Then along come the Pentecostal age with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they cabbage down on that. Now, there cannot be no more ages. That's all of it. That's the Laodicean age. And I think that there might be some significance. I don't know how many of you heard that the National Spelling Bee, the Scripps National Spelling Bee, the winning word was Laodicean. And so the person that was able to spell that won the National Spelling Contest. And I think it's interesting to... Just one of these little tidbits that the whole world has been now embraced with that word. And it means lukewarm or indifferent toward religion. Now, in continuing with Brother Branham's thoughts on the seals, he said, but then we found in the studying of the scripture that the messenger to the age come right at the end of every age. Paul come at the end of the age. We find out that Irenaeus came at the end of the age. Martin, end of the age. Luther, the end of the Catholic age. And what? Wesley at the end of the Lutheran age. And Pentecost at the end of the age of sanctification through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And at the end of the Pentecostal age, we are supposed to receive, according to the word, as God helped me tonight to show you through here, that we are to receive a messenger that will take all those loose ends out there and reveal the whole secret of God for the rapturing of the church. Now, I want you to hold that thought in your mind as we finish these thoughts on the first seal here. And then there's coming forth seven mysterious thunders that's not even written at all. That's right. And I believe that through those seven thunders will be revealed in the last days in order to get the bride together for rapturing faith. Because what we got right now, we wouldn't be able to do it. There's something we got to step forward. We can't have enough faith for divine healing, hardly. We just got enough faith to be, we've got to have enough faith to be changed in a moment and be swept up out of here, out of the earth. And we'll find that after a while, the Lord willing, we'll find where it's written. Then all of the judgments and all these evildoers. Now see, down through the ages, as these seals has been breaking, until now the last seal is broken. And now as they've been watching in on these seals and just presuming what they were doing. Now at the end of the ages of the church ages, all these evildoers will take place and head up in the tribulation. All of these evildoers of the seven seals has been working mysteriously in the church. And we'll find out in a minute, they even work in the name of the church. They call themselves the church. You just see if that isn't right. No wonder that I've been so against denomination, not knowing why. You see, they end up. Now, it starts back here in a mild form, just keeps getting worse and worse until on down until, and people go right into it saying, oh yes, this is just fine. But in the last days, these things are made known, and they finally go so bad until they go plumb into the tribulation period. Why do you think I've been hammering so hard about making sure you're born again? Making sure that you have the Holy Spirit. Because Brother Branham said that the spirit that's so close that could deceive the very elect if it was possible, he said that's a church spirit. A church spirit. You go to church. Oh yeah, you're good people. Oh yeah. You say, I got it. I'm in church. That makes me okay. No, it doesn't. If you're not born again, you're not going in a rapture. You see, you've got to have that new birth in order to be adopted. You've got to be in the family, born into the family, before you can receive the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. And if you're not born again, and you're sitting here and amening, and you can talk the talk. Oh yeah. Like Brother Vail said, they can talk it, but they don't got it. He said they got it, but they don't got it. What is that? They got a church spirit. So close, because it sounds just the same. They can use all the keywords. They can talk about token and rapture and third pole. And you know, they can talk about you know, the Godhead. All these things, but it's just mental. There's no life. There's no sighing and crying for the abomination done in the city. So where are we at tonight? The nations are breaking. Israel is awakening. The signs that the prophets foretold. Gentile days are numbered, with horrors encumbered. Talked to Billy Paul the other day. I said, Brother Billy, I said, I understand that one of the testimonies that I heard, you mentioned something about talking to your daddy about the sixth seal. I said, could you repeat that so that I could, you know, write it down and have it word for word the way you said it? He said, Daddy said to me, Billy, if you saw what I seen in the sixth, under the sixth seal, he said, you would never again rest or be able to sleep. Never again rest or be able to sleep. What's coming on this earth? You think, well, you know what? I could stand to maybe not eat so much. How about not having any food to your backbone and your belly button touch? I've been in foreign countries. I've seen where the cows were so skinny that all of their ribs, you could count them. And you could damage yourself if you fell against a cow because of those bony hips sticking out. And you wonder how the flesh just doesn't rip through with that bone there. Oh yeah, and I wept. And I saw these things firsthand. That's what's coming on this country. And it's going to hit this country harder than any because you're used to a lot of food. You're used to indulging yourself. And the only ones that will escape is the elect. And if you're not in the election, you say, how do I know? Are you born again? Are you born again? Do you know that you're born again? Or do you have that church spirit that says, well, my friends are church people. I go to all the social activities. I even go to prayer studies. I can talk with the best of them. That means you got a church spirit. Do you hunger and thirst after the word of God, after righteousness? That's an indication that either you are filled or that you will be filled. Because Jesus said, blessed are you if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, for you shall be filled. You think everybody that claims to follow Brother Branham is going to go in a rapture? You think everybody claims to follow Brother Vail is going to go in a rapture? I doubt it. I doubt it very much. You think, well, because our church, you know, we've been associated with Brother Vail for such a long time, we're going to go hogwash. I can point you to people in Africa that have more hungering and thirsting than I can count in all these churches that follow Brother Vail's ministry in the States. Oh yeah, lukewarm, and it's getting colder. It's getting colder. So my plea to you, make sure you know that you're born again. Make sure you know you're filled with the Holy Spirit. How do you know? You'll know. When you have met God face to face, when He has begun to speak to your soul within, when you begin to be moved in the bowels of your body by the Holy Spirit, then you'll know, because He said, you'll know as you're known. And what Brother Branham is saying is very, very important. He says, and they finally go so bad until they go plumb into the tribulation period. Now, the word tribulation in the scriptures is a word that simply means pressure. Its first definition is pressure. Second is anguish. Third is tribulation. Fourth is trouble. When the pressure mounts again and again, more and more and more, sometime before it gets too bad, God's going to take His elect out of here. Another tape, and I'd like to play it for you sometime, Brother Joe Riley. Precious brother, if you ever heard any of his testimonies, very humble brother. He asked Brother Branham, how many people are going to go in the rapture? Brother Branham said, there's two schools of thought. Some say 500,000, and some say 5,000. He said, I happen to take the side of those who say 5,000, if it be that many. Brother Joe began to weep. He said, then Brother Branham, I know that I won't make it because I'm just the worst of the worst. He said, there's so many people that are better Christians than I am. And Brother Branham put his arm around Brother Joe and he said, Brother Joe, if you make it and I make it, it's only by the grace of God. Are you in God's grace today? It won't be by something you've done. Simply by His grace. Do you love Him? Is your heart in love with Him? Are you sighing and crying for the abomination, what you see done in the city? Does it trouble you to see what's happening to this nation, to the people? Are you thirsting for more of God? More of His Word? Those are good indications. And if you don't, then my prayer is that you get on your face and don't get up until God fills you with His Spirit. I've done that as a young Christian man before I was married. I stayed in my face until I knew that God had filled me with His Spirit. Brother Ram talked about the old Negro man. And he talked about how he said he was going to stay on his knees, go out there in the woods, stay on his knees until God filled him with the Spirit. That's the way we need to be. Brother Branham, how many times he went to the woods, went to the woodshed, got away from all the influences, got away from the telephone, got away from all the racket, got away from everything that could distract until he could hear from God. If we spent as much time in the Word of God, reading the Word of God as we read texts, kids, you know, the little texting, the telephones. If we packed our Bibles with us as much as we pack our cell phones, if we talked to God as much as we talk on the cell phone, if we listened to God's Word as much as we listen on the cell phones, we'd be a pretty dynamic group of people. But the cell phone has taken the place, and the videos and all the things of the world have taken the place of prayer. They've taken the place of getting on our knees before God and searching for an answer in His Word. We're all guilty of it. This is Laodicea. But He's coming for sons and daughters who are conformed to the image of the firstborn son, who Brother Branham said would rise up early in the morning to go out and seek God in prayer. Brother Branham was an example. He did the same. Do we ever roust ourselves out of the bed so we can go have prayer with and fellowship with our Father? Do we get on our knees and pray to our Father as Jesus got on His knees and prayed to His Father? Or we think, well, I can just listen to the radio, fall asleep. Do we put on the voice of God and listen with a purpose to hear something that might help us in our life? That we're actually hearing God's voice? Or have we filled our lives with distractions? Talk radio. Music. Things that you can feel good for the moment and you don't have to think about what's coming down the pipe. Listen, it's too late to bury your head in the sand. It's too late to say, well, I don't want to think about it. I don't want to talk about it. You're going to have to face it. Because we're already there. It's too late not to. My own sister, out of her own mouth, when I was out in Washington for my mother's 85th birthday, she said, you know, you told us these things were coming years and years ago. We thought you were crazy. But now they're hitting us. Now they are. It's happening just like you said it. That's because we have a vindicated prophet who said it. He gave us 45 years of warning that these things, 49 years. 1960 he began talking about these things. 49 years, almost 50 years of jubilee. Think about that. That we've had to get ready, to prepare ourselves. Have we? Financially, have you? Economically, have you? How about spiritually? Have you? Are you prepared? You think if the rapture came tomorrow morning that you go in it? You think you're prepared? You think you are conformed to the image of the firstborn son? I dare say or not. I don't believe so. I don't believe there's a one of us in here. Well, then certainly we better cry out for grace. We better cry out for mercy. We better cry out that the Lord would have grace and mercy upon us to make us ready. And they finally get so bad until they go plumb into the tribulation period. Now this is very important that he's saying here, because he's telling us something that's very significant. You see, the pressure builds and builds and builds into a squeeze, and as the pressure builds, it continues to build up right into tribulation. So what you see happening today, the squeeze is on, because financially the squeeze is on. Squeeze is a financial term. It's an economic term. And we are in it. No one can say we are not in it. We are in it. And let me tell you something. It builds and builds and builds until it becomes tribulation. Sometime from now until when tribulation starts, somewhere in between, God is going to rescue His little bride. Those who are sighing and crying for the abomination done in the city. Those that have the seal of God in their forehead. Now when you go to the book of Revelations, you find the word tribulation that's used in several chapters. The Greek word that is used most is for the word tribulation is thlipsis. And its first definition is pressure, then affliction, then anguish, then tribulation, then trouble. So you see that it has to do with a squeeze or pressure. And as Brother Brown says here, they finally go so bad until they go plumb into the tribulation period. That tells us they go from worse to worse, as the scripture says, deceiving and being deceived. Until the whole condition of the church and all the peoples is fit for nothing else but destruction. But not for the bride of Christ. She won't go through the judgment. You know why? She's judging herself today. She's judging herself by the word. And if you judge yourself on a daily basis, you take yourself to the word of God and say, Father, where have I not measured up? Please, Holy Spirit, let me know when I've done wrong. Let me know when I've said wrong. Let me know when I've thought wrong. And He will. And if you walk in the light as He is in the light, He'll convict you of your sin, your unbelief. But then you're done with it. You're through with it. And you will not go through the judgment. Brother Bram continues in paragraph 40. And how can a man say that the bride of Christ goes into the tribulation? I can't understand it. See, she's took away from the tribulation. If the church has been judged and they have judged themselves and have accepted the blood, how can God judge a man that's perfectly, totally sinless? You say there's no such a person. Every born-again believer, true believer, is perfectly, absolutely sinless before God. He's not trusting in his own works. He's trusting in the blood of Jesus Christ that his confessions dropped into. The Bible says so. See, he that is born of God does not commit sin. He does not initiate sin. For he cannot sin. How can you make a man a sinner when the bleach of the blood of Christ is between him and God that would scatter sin till there be nothing left of it? See? How can that pure blood of Christ ever let a sin pass through it? He cannot. Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. And how could we even start the thought of being perfect? But Jesus required it. And if Jesus required it, he's got to make a way for it. And he has his own blood. Now we're going to get into this thought tonight. As we go back to the beginning of paragraph 73. And to begin reading on. But first let's finish what Brother Branham is saying here in the first seal. Now all the mysteries that's gone on in the past. Now the thought is here at the end time. That the mysteries that begin way back long ago. And has come down through the church age. Is to be revealed here at the breaking of the seals. Here at the last days. After the time of the intercession is just about finished. At that time, then the judgments wait for those who are in the back. They go on out into that. That is after the bride has been taken from the scene. So we have this wonderful thought to us, given to us, that through these rough times that lay ahead of us, that before it goes from squeeze to tribulation judgment, we're going to be gone. But only those who are born again and are under the shed blood of the Lamb will go. And all those who are left here after that, let him who's filthy be filthy still, and him who's righteous be righteous still. Now, let's go back to what we were reading in paragraph 73. He said, I believe the Bible is the Word, the whole truth, and Jesus is the Word made manifest. He and his Word is one and the same. What was he? Now look, he was that seed. Then in holding the same context, he says, so he was that seed, and the only way that that life could be in the reproduction of life, life had to come through that seed. And that seed had to die in order to spread out the life. Can't you see it? That's why the water was given to water the seed. Didn't Jesus say, it's expedient that I go away, for if I go away, the Comforter won't come? Didn't he say, it's expedient that you put the seed into the ground so that it can die? So that the life that's in it can bring forth many, many more? Wasn't it necessary then that the life that was in Christ, Jesus, was God's own life? God life? And Jesus had to die that that could come back upon the church? Then in paragraph 74 he says, man wasn't made to die, he was made to live. And I like that kind of talk. It makes me feel real good inside about what God is in the midst of us, of his people right now. The pillar of fire is in the midst of the people. He knows your sin. He knows your unbelief. He knew the unbelief of Israel, but he was still on the scene. He said he won't leave us nor forsake us. All we have to do is recognize who's here. The judge is here. And say, Father, forgive me for my sin. And may the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse me. And may the word of Jesus Christ cleanse my mind. Take me, remold me, shape me, get me ready, Father. I don't want to be left for this. Your prophet here, he said man wasn't meant to die. Man was meant to live. And Father, live your life through me, that I might not die again. Then he talks about how it got away from them, which I don't wish to focus on tonight, but we know it come by hybriding other life into the gene pool. But let's not focus on that tonight. Let's focus on the original life. How is it, how it is God's wish, God's purpose, God's plan for us to live? He says, but oh God, there's a germ of life come from the real seed that God proved it was his seed. He rose him up again. See, that through that life that's going over that original seed, like was given to Eve over his real church, is bringing forth life again through the birth, through the womb of his bride. See, oh, it's a rich and glorious. I give a little time to study so it'll sink in. He is that seed. He is that seed that was produced by the word of God. Be it unto me according to thy word. There's that seed taking the word. Now Jesus is the word made manifest. He and the word is one and the same. And that's why it was so made manifest in him so perfectly. That's the reason that God manifested himself so perfectly in Jesus. Because he was the seed word, the germ word itself. The germ that's inside that seed. That's the life in the seed. You get it? See, he was the germ, word of God. The germ is in the spirit. The germ is the water. And Jesus had to be broken open there in order for that seed to let forth its life to water other seed that was coming forth. Do you see it? Even he said, other sheep have I. That's not even of this fold that I have them. They're going to see that. They're going to get that word and stay right with it. I'm sending forth the Spirit to water it, and it'll produce just exactly. You know, that was his prayer, John 17, verse 1. Or John 17, he said, that we and he and the Father would all be one. That's what he prayed. He said it would come by our being one in the same word, the same doxa of God. Being one in God's word, being one in God's judgment, one in God's opinion, one in God's values. That's how God and Jesus were one. In John 17, verse 11, Jesus prayed, and now I am no more in this world, but these are in the world, and I am come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those who thou hast given to me, that they may be one, even as we are one. And how is it that we might be one? Even as, which means in the same manner as Jesus and the Father were one. Verse 14, he says, I have given them thy word, and the world hateth them because of it, because they're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Then Jesus tells us how we become one with God through the same word that he became one with God. In verse 20, he says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us. That the world may believe on that thou hast sent me, and the glory, the doxa, the opinion, the values, the judgment, which thou gavest me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. So if you hold God's values as your values, if you hold God's judgments as yours, his opinions as yours, that makes you one with God. Therefore, it's very apparent that we are one by receiving the same word, which brings us into the same glory, the same mind as the Father. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. From harvest time, Brother Branham said, Jesus said that they might be one, Father, as you and I are one. Not for some man or some other thing. It'll never work. One denomination wants to take over the other, one man over the other. But what you might that you might be one with God, like Christ and God was one. That's what the prayer is. He was the Word, and Jesus prayed that we might be the Word reflecting him. That's his prayer to be answered. See how Satan scruples it up in the carnal mind? But that wasn't Jesus' prayer at all, that we might congregate together and all have the same creed and same so forth. Every time they do that, they go further and further from God. He wants us to be one with God, and God is the Word. Each individual in his heart must be that one with God. And from show us the Father, he'll satisfy. He says, now, it's many times been said that no man can see God at any time. The Bible said so. But the only begotten of the Father has declared him. Philip here was very inquisitive. He wanted to see the Father, says here. He said, I've been so long with you, Philip, you don't know me. He said, when you see me, you see the Father. In other words, you see the Father express himself through the Son. Him and the Father were one in the sense that the Father was dwelling in him. Not him doing the works, he was a son, himself, the immortal, virgin-born Son of God. But then in him was dwelling the God, the Father, expressing himself to the world, his attitude towards the people. See, well, that's how Christ and God were one. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Now he said, when you see me, you see the Father, and why do you say, show us the Father? So in getting back to the spoken words of the original seed, Brother Brown said, and Jesus had to be broken open there in order for that seed to let forth of its life to water other seed that was coming. And do you see it? Then if it be the same life in the other children, it will have the same nature as the firstborn son did and as the father did. And doesn't the scripture say that we are to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son? It'll produce miracles, Brother Brown said. It'll produce the power of God. It'll produce, notice, Brother Brown says, it'll produce miracles. It will produce the power of God. It'll produce and that is very important. And it will not deny anything because it's a kindred seed with the seed. Now, paragraph 76. So you see what I mean. It is the germ that come from the seed. He is. He's the Word of God made perfectly manifest. That's the reason that in him was what? Well, the scripture says in him was life. And the life was the light of man. The direction. You find your light, or your light gives you direction. That's why Jesus said in John 6:63, my words are spirit, they're life. My words are life. That's why the Apostle Paul was quoted in the book of Acts 17:28, for in him we live and move and have our being, as certain of your poets have written, for we are also his offspring. I hope you can see that. The Word is life to us. And that's why Paul said in Colossians 3:1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with God, or with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. The word is phanerou, to manifest in his true character. Then shall you also appear, phanerou. You shall also manifest in your true character, with him in glory, with him in doxa, with him in his opinion, with him in his values, with him in his judgments. Why? Because the mind of Christ is now in you. Therefore, being in this condition, then Paul said, then mortify therefore the deeds of your flesh. How many of us can say, when Christ, who is my life, shall appear? He has appeared. Is he your life? Is Christ your life? What are you living for? Christ. What are you breathing for? Christ. What are you speaking for? Christ. What are you being moved? As Paul said, for in Him we live and move and have our being. Is Christ our life tonight? Because if He is, we shall appear at His great appearing. We shall manifest as sons of God, doing the same things that Jesus did. These signs shall follow them that believe. Right? Are they? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Your gracious Father, we thank You for Your word. We know that You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We know that the life that You gave to Your Son is the same life yesterday, today, and forever. And the things that He did in that flesh were things that You have done. And we know, as Brother Branham said, if we truly have the life of God living in us, then the supernatural must be manifesting itself in our life. So my question is it? Help us, Father. Help us to know our condition. And help us, Lord, above all, to be able to honestly say, when Christ, who is my life, appears, then I shall also appear with Him in the same doxa, in the same opinion, values, and judgments. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. If the brothers would come forward to bring the elements. I'm going to read from John chapter 13. When is it the proper time to turn your life over to God or back over to God? He said, now is the day of salvation. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He was come from God and He went to God, He riseth from supper, laid aside His garment, took a towel and girded Himself. After that He poureth water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith He was girded. Then cometh He to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto Him, Lord, dost Thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do Thou knowest not now, but Thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto Him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto Him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And you are clean, but not all. For He knew who should betray Him. Therefore said He, Ye are not all clean. So after He had washed their feet, and had taken His garment, and sat down again, He said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? You call Me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, He that eateth bread with Me hath lifted up his heel against Me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am He. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth Me, and he that receiveth Me receiveth him that sent Me. Now, before we bow our heads for prayer and the brothers ask a blessing over the elements, We'll have a little change tonight. We're setting up a room back here that's going to be used for a bedroom because of Brother Joshua's parents are going to be staying, and his family. So we have the two bedrooms here they can stay in for the wedding. So we're going to do it this way. We're going to have the brothers, after they go through the communion, will have their foot washing up here. It's better for the sisters than they can use downstairs, more private. They can have their foot washing downstairs. And if there's any that you know have to change whatever they how they have to do, there's a bedroom down there they can change in that as well. So be more modest for you down there. The brothers will remain up in here. So let's bow our heads in prayer.
Our hearts and minds and truly, Father, and you may be focused in our lives and all that we do say and think. And I would just ask that you bless this morning, Father, which is a for a sin, Father, which is without the blood, there's no atonement for sin, Father. So just come by that blood now, Lord, and come by the cross and by your word, Father, tonight, that wash our sins, our unbelief, out of our lives, and we continue to decrease and increase in our forgiveness and our heart because of the sin we did. So, Father, just commit this night, tomorrow, every day this week, every moment that we have, and this all the time, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? Oh, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. The consecrated cross I'll bear till death shall set me free, and then go home my crown to wear, for there's a crown for me. Oh, precious cross, O glorious crown, O resurrection day. Ye angels from the stars, come down and bear my soul away.